Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. We're going to take a look at home renovation and repair today, what to get done on our homes before winter sets in. Ken Adams of Adams Design Build, our guest today. And we're also joined today by Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, and we're in our Half the Time Pledge Drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. We're cutting our fall pledge drive down from 12 days to just 6 days, and your pledge right now, so important, because listener contributions make up more than one-third of our budget, don't they, Judith?
They do, and you can help make this short fall drive a success. Help us raise the money we need in just half the time. Your gift of $50, $100, whatever amount you choose makes a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, our goal was, I believe, 60, and we wound up with 103.
That's great.
So we really did good. Really did a great job. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000. And this generous challenge is offered by Wisconsin Physical Therapy Association. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can get your pledge doubled right now when you contribute at WPR.org or by going to the phone and calling 888-202-2552. Do it right now.
We love challenges like that, and thank the Wisconsin Physical Therapy Association so much for their generosity. You know, listening to Wisconsin Public Radio is like a tuition-free lifelong education. All you need is a radio or a computer to listen on, but we need your support to make it happen. Contribute now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you might think it takes hours in order to pledge, but you know what? It doesn't. Ask Judith. She'll tell you it just takes 2 minutes.
2 minutes of your time.
That's right.
All we need is your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Yeah, you can consider using your credit card. Saves time, postage, paper, puts your money to work right away. No matter how you choose to give or how much, I hope you'll take those 2 minutes right now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Well, and we're all such multitaskers these days. Yep. Anyway, you can be listening, you can be eating your lunch, you can be on the computer pledging all at the same time. You won't miss anything. And you won't miss that in just a minute, we'll be talking to Ken Adams about home improvement projects. Discussions like this are possible because of your financial support, and we know how much you appreciate getting to talk to pros like Ken. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000 in effect right now. It's offered by Wisconsin Physical Therapy Association. So your gift of, well, we had somebody just now pledge $120.
Woo-hoo!
So that turns into $240. If you can contribute $100, it's really like $200. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for programs like this one. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
So, Larry, we're cutting the time in half and we're doubling the amount of the pledge. That's a win-win-win.
That's great. I love that.
And you can choose one of several ways to pay your pledge. One of them is ongoing monthly installments directly from your bank account. Once it's set up, your membership automatically renews. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. You never have to put it on your to-do list.
Yeah, it's a great way to be a sustaining member of WPR. It saves paper. It's easy. And it's the most cost-effective, frankly, choice for us, meaning your pledge goes that much further. So you could start your sustaining membership right now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And just to remind you, our challenge is still in effect. Your pledge is now doubled. Help out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may be hearing this for the first time, but I'm telling you, it's our Half the Time Pledge Drive. This is a shortfall drive, just 6 days instead of 12. Your donation helps make it a success. Give now at WPR.org or call call 888-202-2552.
Larry, Wanda from Rice Lake said, I listen to WPR every morning and it starts my day on a good note. It seems like I'm constantly telling friends and family about something I learned by listening to WPR. If you feel the same way, we hope you'll help out. Today's the day. Donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Judith will be back. Ken Adams with us right now, though. And Ken, you're a busy guy right now?
I am. But I'm never too busy to come here, and it's really I really appreciate the opportunity to come on a day with on a, an important pledge drive.
Day. Oh well, I thank you so much for coming, and we've got lots of things that I can talk with you about. But I know we have a lot of callers online with some good questions. So rather than letting me selfishly answer my questions, I'm going to go to Nick in Green Bay and let him ask his question.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want a certificate for a power duct and furnace cleaning. And I've heard different stories that some that doesn't really do much for your furnace. So I was wondering if it's going to actually make a big difference. And how intrusive is it in your house when you do it?
Well, that's a good question, Nick. You know, they're talking about cleaning the ducts. I don't know how old your home is, but just to give you a little anecdote, when we bought our house, it was built in the 20s, and we moved in, I think, in the early 90s, and I had the ducts cleaned. They got 9 bags of dust out of the ducts, 9 garbage bags. And I'm allergic to cats, and the previous owners had cats, so it really helped. It's not very intrusive into your house. What they do is they put little holes in the ducting in strategic locations and force usually air through it. There's a wet cleaning system and a dry cleaning system, and I really don't know which one's better. We had a dry cleaned, so there was no moisture involved, and we're very happy we did.
Yeah. Can I ask one quick question then?
Yeah.
Our basement, we don't have a basement. We got a family room. It's all done. Uh-huh. Like, refinished. Are they going to be able to get to the ducts then?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
You're going to have to take a look.
If you won this, they're going to have to figure out a way to do it. You don't have to get to them in every location, so they may need to get to the furnace and then at the vent where the air is coming out. So that might all be all they need to do.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm glad that you're on here.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Let's go to Guy in Merrill next. Hi, Guy.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you for calling.
Hey, I wish you would have been on last week. I painted my vinyl siding. I did some research on the internet, and we re-sided our house, new windows, insulated it and everything. Well, the garage is attached, but it was white vinyl siding, and the vinyl siding was in perfect shape. The soffit, everything was good on it, and I just hated to tear it off and replace it, so I came up with this bright idea of painting it. So I found, I don't know if I can say the name of the paint on the air, but it was from a local home building supply store, and it was designed, supposedly on the can, it says designed for vinyl siding metal soffit. I pressure washed it, scrubbed it, rinsed it, let it dry, and then either painted it with a brush or sprayed it. It looks great, but I don't know, you know, how is that going to hold up?
People do paint vinyl siding, and okay, if you prep it correctly, which it sounds like you did, and put on a good quality paint, which it sounds like you did, you went to a reputable dealer and got a quality, probably one of the name brand paints that say that they can be used for vinyl siding. You should probably be fine. It's not going to last as long as the vinyl siding itself, because that's the same color all the way through. So even if you scratch it, if it starts to chalk, you're still going to get, it's still going to be relatively the same color. And now once the finish is gone, it's going to have to be repainted. So you'll probably end up painting it again in a few years, maybe three to six years. But sounds like you did everything right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just say I hated to tear it off
You don't want to. I mean, PVC in the landfill, it's not good for the environment.
Right.
It's good to try to work with it if you can.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guy. Larry in Whitewater, let's turn to you now. Hi, Larry.
Hi. I got a painting problem. I'm going to paint the outside of my house.
Okay.
And I've got a kitchen extension coming with a peaked roof, 45 degrees.
Ah, we lost him.
Lost him.
Oh, we completely lost that caller. Well, call back. We'll put you on again. Call back. I just had a dead spot maybe in his cell phone.
Sounded like a good call.
Yeah, it's all that. Well, he'll call back. Sharon and Madison, in the meantime, we go to you. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I have a problem with my foundation. The foundation is cracked, and it's probably about a quarter inch crack from where the you know, cement of the foundation meets the siding all the way down to the ground. When I go inside and look in the basement, I don't see any crack on the inside. So I don't know how far that crack goes down and what type of tradesperson I would call if I need to repair this.
Well, there's one thing to look at with a crack on a foundation. First of all, let me back up and say all foundations crack.
Okay.
That's the nature of it there. And one of the reasons, if you look at your sidewalk, you see these little grooves that are cut into it.
Right.
When they pour it, that's to control where it's going to crack. If you look down in those sidewalks, you'll see usually a little hairline crack because they've created a weak spot for that.
Oh.
Some foundations are put in with that very same thing. So having said that, a cracked basement in and of itself is not a problem. But one thing you want to look at is to see if it goes all the way through. In your case, it doesn't. So
right.
you're in good shape there. The other thing is if it does go all the way through and the planes of the foundation are not identical, say, for example, one side moves a little out and the other side moves a little in. So when you run your finger over the crack, are both sides of the crack in the same place or are they... You know, on different planes. That means your foundation is moving. It doesn't sound like that's a problem for you. The person to call would be any reputable concrete contractor that knows a little bit about concrete patching. These things can be patched with a variety of things. We like to use an epoxy foundation plug. You dig down as far as you can on the outside of the building, fill it. And usually that'll do it. But you can use mortar mixes too, certain types of mortar mixes. And do you think you'd do it yourself or are you going to hire a tradesman?
Well, I don't know. I think we'll dig and see how far it goes and how serious it is.
Sure. Well, I would do it soon or wait till spring. Probably do it soon would be better.
Okay.
Dig it down. Call around. Let's see, you're here in town, so you can call... you know, there are several contractors that advertise for it. There's suppliers that can help direct you.
Okay.
Let's see, one that comes to mind is United Block and Stone, Brick and Block, County Materials. You know, the companies like that, they can steer you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. Ken Adams today, our guest today of Adams Design Build in Madison, as we talk with him about home renovation and repair and getting your home ready for winter. Larry Mueller here, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Ken Adams, our guest today of Adams Design Build in Madison, talking with us about home renovation and repair. Give us a call with your questions. Actually, we have open lines, so we can get you on fairly quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post right there. An email from Chuck who says, my gutters are 18 feet above the ground and require leaf removal 3 to 4 times a year. Is there a safe, effective alternative to climbing my extension ladder and doing this from the roof? Would it be possible? I have an answer to this. And you probably do too. Would it be possible to blow the leaves out by building an attachment to an air compressor?
Why don't you go first, Larry?
Well, I'll tell you, my father-in-law, Herb Stouty of Watertown, Wisconsin,
a great town,
has a leaf blower. And he made an extension. He got some plastic pipe that he can attach to the leaf blower, and then he got a little elbow at the top, and it's just tall enough to reach the gutters, 18 feet or however high it is, and he turns the leaf blower on and he just blows those leaves right out of there.
Did he patent it?
He did not patent it.
Because now you could buy those.
You could probably buy them.
You can buy them now, yeah.
Can you buy them?
Yeah.
Oh.
But that's a great idea. That'll work just fine. And 18 feet is not all that high.
Not
but
too bad.
You don't want to hang, you don't want to be leaning on the roof, because when you're standing on the roof facing down, you're facing downhill, and it's really easy for your center of gravity to go a little bit too
way.
Far, and you'll end up doing a somersault into the ground. And 18 feet, you can do some serious damage to your body and you know, life and limb. So I think Larry's idea is just perfect. Another thing you could consider doing is getting one of the Leaf Guard products out there. There's the
all kinds of
good ones. So you could check around and see what seems to work for you.
And the Leaf Guards, now you put some on our home, and they work great. I mean, we can actually, because of that second floor patio, we can actually go out and look right at.
And visually inspect it. Yeah.
Visually inspect it. It's just holding up great.
That's
and
terrific.
The leaves are, no leaves in there.
Aha, that's the goal.
That's the goal. Larry in Whitewater, you're back. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Thanks. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm painting the side of a house, and the kitchen addition comes in with a peaked roof, 45-degree peak, and the top peak of the side of the house is 18 feet above that. And I'm wondering what the best way, most economical, safest way for me to get up there. I thought about extending one of those scaffold folding ladders across it, but that still doesn't give me enough height. Maybe I need to buy a real scaffold, you know, rent a real scaffold. I don't know. Is there another way to do it?
I'm not sure I completely visualize this, but it sounds like you've got a roof on the main house that's higher than a single-story roof on your addition, and you're trying to get above the addition. And that's really tricky.
From one peak to the other. Yeah,
that's really tricky because, I mean, you want to be safe. And so you don't want to just kind of go up there and jury rig something that may or may not do the job. So is the ground around the house, is that fairly flat?
Yes, it is.
And is there access to that side of the house, say, at least 5 or 6 feet wide?
There's access, but the peak spreads out to almost the same width as the house itself.
Yeah. Well, the thing I was going to say here is that there are companies that you could either rent a man lift from, and you could also rent a person to actually operate it for you. Now, it's not going to be dirt cheap, but it'll still be less expensive than hiring a painting contractor to do the work if you want to do it yourself. But you may find something like that to be, a smart process, because you could be secure in this thing. Once it's set up properly, you could maneuver it to exactly where you need it to. You've seen these kinds of things. Utility companies use them. They could be rented. But there again, you have to be careful. Safety is the number one issue. So that's one opportunity. That's one possibility. Another one would be to take some traditional scaffolding and build it up on both sides, and then put scaffold across. And that, you're renting a lot of equipment that you don't have. And by the time you get there, you might be just better off hiring somebody to paint that for you. That's a professional and has the tools.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah. And frankly, that's what I'd do. I mean, in my house, instead of trying to set everything up, I'd rent the equipment or hire somebody.
Yeah. Because
I'm getting to be a certain age, shall we say? And
good luck.
Good
Larry.
Luck, Larry. Bye.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Okay. Well, Richard LaCrosse has a question for you. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I have a shed that I need to shingle. The shingles are starting to curl up on it. And I want to know if there's any good reason to take the shingles off before I put these new shingles on.
Yes, there are good reasons to do that. You don't necessarily have to. If it's only one layer of shingles, you can shingle over the top, and that will be fine. That will be safe and secure from the weather if they're shingled properly. But having said that, if you take the old shingles off, you can inspect the wood for any sort of rot that's beginning on the top. You could put new felt paper down, and the new shingles will lie flatter. And when they lie flat, they will last longer. So just for that, those reasons alone, it makes sense. Especially on a shed, there's not that they're not sheds usually aren't that big, so it shouldn't be that much work to tear it off.
No, okay, that's what I needed to know. I wanted you to say there's absolutely no reason to do it, but
there is some reason.
There is some reason. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
Bye-bye.
Greg in Madison, your turn. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to make a comment about an earlier call when I had kind of questions about the ductwork and not having the basement.
Yeah.
Well, I used to work for a company that did a lot of that duct cleaning. And if usually if that thing's up in the attic, you can run all the trunk lines with a series of hoses and whips.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to... He'll be able to access, even if through the walls there's no access to those vents, he'll be able to, you know, pretty much hook up that vacuum and whip everything back to the vacuum near the furnace. So
makes sense.
Even if there's no basement, he'll be able to rip through everything pretty easily.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
Yeah, thanks for calling. That's
yeah,
no
problem.
Yeah, appreciate it, Greg. Thank you. All right, that problem is resolved. Let's go to Lori in Minong. Hi, Lori.
Hi, I'm calling because my husband and I own a home that was built in the early 60s. Not well maintained, unfortunately, and it's a cedar siding on the house. We wanted to paint the siding, and we called some contractors to get estimates, and one of them said, oh, no, you can't paint this. The wood is too far gone, and you're going to have to put up vinyl siding. And I want to know, I always thought cedar was one of these woods that lasted forever, and I'm wondering if he's just trying to sell me siding, or I'm really too need to do something about what the siding we have.
Well, that's another very good question, Lori. Without seeing it, I can't tell you for sure, but I will say that I know a lot of homes built in the 60s had very, very good bones, very good construction techniques, and the cedar that was used was often clear cedar. A couple things to look at is the cedar curling? Is it cracking?
Okay. It's a two-story home, so I can't see it all.
Mm-hmm.
There's one area, because we're also looking at redoing the gutters and downspouts, because they're in terrible shape.
Sure.
And one of them said, you know, you've got the signs of moisture in the wood.
Okay. Did they do a moisture test with a moisture meter? Or did they show you?
They just visually said that's what they saw.
Okay. Well, not having seen it, I can't speak definitively. So, but having said that, I would say that the first thing that I would try to do is see if there's any way in the world that I could save that siding, because chances are most of the house is in pretty good shape, and there might be some spots, and you can maybe patch those spots in with wood siding. I'm not a big fan of vinyl siding. It does have its place, and if at all possible, if you have a nice clear cedar siding, I would try that first.
Stay with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. I mean, we would just as soon. I hate vinyl siding, so I really want to keep the cedar if I can.
Mm-hmm.
And you just never know. I mean, you should hear all the and I'm not even asking you about the downspout gutter issue because we're totally confused with that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. How about this? Why don't you send me some photographs? You can send them to my email. It's ken@adamsofmadison.com. That's spelled like the president, not the family. adams of madison.com. Send me a couple of photographs. Just shoot them with your cell phone or whatever, and briefly describe, you know, what you're trying to accomplish, and I'll look at it.
All right.
Okie doke.
That's great. Thanks.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate that call very much. I appreciate all the calls, and I also appreciate Judith Sears-Poisson when she stops by. Hi, Judith.
Larry, you're so good to me.
This is in case you didn't know it, folks, this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Half the Time Pledge Drive, and we need to get you involved. You can get a lot of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can get a lot out of Wisconsin Public Radio no matter when you listen. Today, we are asking you to put something back into it, aren't we, Judith?
We are. Your gift is important as we try to raise all the money with just half the on-air fundraising. You told us that's what you want, so we're doing it 6 days instead of 12. But that means more of your favorite programs only if you support us now. So take 2 minutes and give, just 2 minutes, 120 seconds, almost nothing at all, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We had a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,000, and that is
long gone. Yay! Yay! Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much. But we still have some work to do. We have, let's see, we have about 59 more pledges to go to reach our goal for this period. So I hope you'll join in right now with your contribution. Help us out. Go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
You enjoy this program during the week, and maybe you also enjoy some listening on the weekends. Maybe Zorba Pastor on Your Health, Car Talk, Old Time Radio. We've got something for you every day of the week, and weekends are extra fun.
And your pledge right now supports all of the programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, not only this program, all of them. And it's easy to donate. Just go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
You'll enjoy WPR Pledge Free after 1 o'clock this afternoon. But to make Pledge Free afternoons possible, we need to all pull together during these morning hours. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps keep this pledge drive efficient and effective. Thank you in advance.
You don't have to live in a big city to have access to everything the world has to offer. You get it right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
That is so true. And you know, you might live in a rural area, but when you listen to WPR, you're in the global public square, hearing from world-class artists, knowledgeable reporters, and people who devote their lives to research. Because you enjoy this access to the world, make a pledge of support to the station where you get it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign that it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you.
And guess what? You're important to us. We're listener-supported radio. And I have to say, the programs are a lot more interesting with the callers that call in and join in the conversation. That means we count on money from people like you, too, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special each and every day. The amount of your gift? Well, that's up to you. Become a member of WPR with a gift in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 58 more pledges in the next 55 minutes or so. So about a pledge a minute, thereabouts. A little faster would be better, I guess. I'd rather just get the 58 done with right in the next 5 minutes.
There
Let's
you
just
go.
Do
Let's
it in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's easy.
Tell you, it's easy to do. You can do your part. Go to WPR.org or phone us at 888-202-2552. Make your pledge.
It's our half the time pledge drive. It's a short fall drive, just 6 days instead of 12. Your donation helps make it a success and really proves that we're right, that we can do it in this short amount of time. But prove it now by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Christine from Hermantown, Minnesota says, ooh, I love WPR and listen to it because WPR always has such great, interesting programs and guests.
There you go.
Like Ken Adams.
Like Ken Adams and his usual sidekick, John Freiberger, yeah, who's not here today but with us in spirit. And John would encourage you to donate too by going to WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552 and thank you.
Thank you very, 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 very much. Appreciate it. And we've got some more questions from listeners here. Let's go to Dan and Eagle. See what's on Dan's mind. Hi, Dan.
Hi. My house was built in 1873, and it has all the original windows in it yet. They have been reglazed and caulked. I'm getting condensation on the inside of the house, and I'm interested in building some storm windows. And I just needed to know about what size of the weep holes for the storm should I be putting in them, or what's your best suggestion?
Are you talking about weep holes at the bottom of the storm windows?
Correct.
Yeah, they don't have to be very large, you know, a couple of maybe 3/4-inch holes would be plenty for a standard 24 by 24 double hung. I think it's okay. Great that you put on storm windows on this on a house like this. Just the other thing to do is make sure you've got good weather stripping on your main windows, and you know that's terrific.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's all I need.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dan. And Mary in Menominee, let's go to you next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a situation where several years ago we had new windows put inside. We had wood and just fake. We replaced them with plastic. They're easier to clean. The framework.
Yeah.
They took our storm windows off, which were aluminum. The storm windows we had on were a low E glass. The windows we have in now are low E glass. I want to put the storm windows back on, and I want to know if there's any problem doing that.
Well, there shouldn't be any problem of putting them on, you know, having the glass,
both
low E glass. That shouldn't create an issue for you. I'd be a little surprised if they'll actually fit into the new windows.
Oh, well, they just put the new windows in the old frames.
Uh-huh.
They just replace the existing window with the new one.
That might work just fine. You may want to contact the manufacturer and see if they recommend against it, because some vinyl window manufacturers will say that when you have a vinyl window underneath a storm window, and it can build up quite a bit of heat, and that might not be the best for that window. My experience has been it does seem to work, but definitely check with a manufacturer.
They just seem so much colder without those storm windows.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of times people replace their windows and they really don't get as much comfort as they had hoped. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
There are other things too. You don't forget, you might have issues with insulation in your walls and or in your ceiling or holes. You put your hand on a cold day, put your hand over an electrical receptacle and see if cold air is coming through there.
Okay.
It's a great time, if you don't mind, Larry, to recommend an energy audit, energy audit to anybody and everybody out there who's trying to improve the insulation value and the energy usage of their home. It's a great way to start. They'll give you a list of items that you can do that once you achieve a certain level, you'll get some tax credits and maybe some rebates from the utility companies, and you'll know that you're doing the best service for your house and your comfort.
Okay, are there specialists out there that...
There are, and I don't know who you would have in Menominee, but if you go to the Focus on Energy website, I think it's just Focus on Energy. You should be able. It'll help direct you to somebody who's available in Menominee.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate your call. And we did that on our house on Summers Avenue.
Yes.
And came out pretty good.
Yeah. They thought it turned out just great.
They loved it.
We insulated the heck out of it and put some really nice windows in too for you, Larry.
And that obviously is making a huge difference. It's an Energy Star home.
Yes, it is.
So wonderful. You can join in too at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show and get your questions answered that way too. Do you have a snowblower?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Do you tune it up, or what do you do with it?
Well, I'm not as diligent as I should be, but this is a good time of year to do it. Do it before the season starts, and then you know for sure it's going to operate.
It'll actually run.
Yeah, and if you go out in the front yard and fire up your snowblower, you're going to get some talk from the neighbors too, so...
I'd recommend that about 5 in the morning, let's say. No, not really. Not really. Jerry in Whitewater, we turn to you now. Hi, Jerry.
Yes, I made a mistake X number of years ago. We have a cabin up in the central part of the state, just a real small one, and it had a 7-foot ceiling in it. And where place where I was working, they had a whole bunch of, they were replacing the ceiling tile. So I removed the ceiling in that cabin. And then there was no insulation left up there. So then I took some of those tiles and applied them right to the roof board between the rafters, which I didn't know at that time was a dumb thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Blendex that we put over the top of it is getting some mold spots on it. Is there anything I could do to alleviate that? What things that I had in mind? It's an angled roof, of course. could I somehow put like a suspended ceiling in that?
Well, you have mold up there, so you want to ameliorate the mold, first of all. So do you still have your ceiling tile up there, or have you removed it?
It's just like it was when I put it up there 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Except that it's moldy.
Yes.
You're going to have to carefully, my recommendation is that you'll have to carefully remove that ceiling tile. And
right.
And then you'll have to kill the mold. And there's a variety of ways you could do it. One way that you can do it is take some dish soap and wash it, scrub it down. You could use a very mild bleach solution. You could get the place really nice and warm for a very long period of time, and that will sometimes kill mold, and then wash it. Then after you do that, the best thing that I would recommend doing is it's a little bit complicated because you want to have air ventilation above anything that you insulate. So you'll want a little air gap that moves from the eave end of the house up through the pitch of the roof and lets air flow freely. Then below that you want insulation, and below that your ceiling. So
I wasn't clear.
Yes.
I removed the existing ceiling, and that ceiling tile that I got, I applied to the roof between the rafters, so now we have an open ceiling all the way up to the rafters with plywood over the top of that insulation.
And that plywood is the bottom of the roof.
Yes. Actually, there's that plywood, the insulation, and then the roof
but
from the inside.
The insulation, you're saying, is not insulation. It's just ceiling tiles, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, and that's what I'm saying. My recommendation is remove that, kill the mold, and then start over from the inside.
So that means taking the Blendex off completely.
And I'm not sure what Blendex is.
It's plywood.
The plywood.
Oh, so you have plywood over the top of that insulation?
Yes.
Inside the cabin?
Yes.
Oh.
How else do you do it, though? If you don't
I don't know of any other way to do it except for, if you've got mold growing through there, that means that you've got... you've got moisture up there inappropriately. You have no insulation up there. I would say you're going to have to really give it some serious thought, and I'd start over. I'd take that down.
Take it down.
And re-insulate it properly. Get a professional over there to help you design the ventilation system for the attic or for that little attic space. You could still have a cathedral-style ceiling. It could still look really cool. It's just that it's going to be engineered a little bit differently than you have now. But start with a professional. Get somebody out there to look at it and give you some sound advice that way.
Ken Adams of Adams Design Build, our guest here today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at home renovation and repair, getting ready for winter with Ken Adams of Adams Design and Construction in Madison. Great to have you listening in. Thank you so much. Join in with your questions and comments, just like Barb has. Barb's in Menominee Falls. Barb, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. We have a cottage in northern Wisconsin, and my father built it in the early 60s. And we had Johns Manville floor tile laid right over the cement floor, and I think they put something in the concrete as a vapor barrier. I'm not sure. We need to replace the tile. It's chipping, and... my question is it possible that we could fill in the chips and lay something, a material over that tile? I hate to have some asbestos people come in. It'll be very costly to get rid of the tile.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barb, there's some things that you could do if the majority of it is solidly attached to the concrete.
It is, yes.
You could clean it up. You could fill in the little gaps, and you can go over the top of it with tile, with a floating floor and something else on top. There's a lot of different options once you clean it up and get it level. So what are you thinking you'd like to put on the floor?
Well, I don't know, because I know that in the spring when we heat the cottage up, we don't use it year-round. Mm-hmm. When we heat it up, there is moisture. And so, is there some material that I know that, water comes up and I have to wipe up spots of water. So what would be the best material? That's a I'm looking for a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a good chance that the water is not coming up through the bottom, that it's just condensing on the floor, which is cold.
Oh, okay.
That's a possibility. That's of, you know, a likelihood. So, having said that, you could probably do more vinyl. You could do linoleum, old fashioned linoleum, or even a better choice would be tile.
Uh huh.
And you could tile over the top of that. There's some preparation that you want to do. You may need to do put a product down that's called, I think it's called Ditra. It's a product that will seal above. It will seal above the asbestos floor and give you a nice base.
Oh.
You may not need that. You're going to have a professional lay this floor for you?
Oh, I assume so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, so a lot of people like to try to do their own tile, and I don't necessarily recommend against it. It's a fun job if you've got patience and, you know, don't mind it not turning out perfect.
If my father were still alive, he would do it, but he's left four kids that don't know anything.
That's because he was doing everything. So if you talk to a tile installer, if the asbestos floor is solidly attached to the concrete below, you could go over the top of that.
Uh-huh. And so you don't have to buy a barrier as such to put over that tile and then the vinyl.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, all right. Good luck to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much for calling. And Paul in Grafton, hi.
Hi, good morning. I've got a question for you. I was wondering, are you familiar, do you know of any place I could look to find gable louvers that are hinged and would react to the airflow in the attic and seal up at times and then open up and blow air out at other times?
Hmm. No, I don't. But I'm sure there's something out there, and you might want to just take a look at Granger's website. I think it's Granger. And just check them. They're an industrial hardware supplier. National company, and they have a real extensive pile of stuff. I mean, it's a great place to go look if you love hardware and like to window shop. McMaster Car is another place to maybe take a look.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. Thank you very much for that question and that call. Well, tell you what, we have got some work to do here. Larry Mueller with Judith Sears Poisson breathlessly running into the studio here. We're in our half the time pledge drive, asking you to help make this program possible with your pledge of support. And we hope you'll do it right now.
You know, Larry, listeners make the work we do here at Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile, but members make our work possible. We love bringing you news, music, intelligent talk, really entertainment of every stripe each day. In fact, it's a privilege to do so.
And I tell you what, we had a dollar-for-dollar match, which we've met. That is just absolutely wonderful. So a lot of people's gifts of $50 or $100 turned into double that amount. I hope that you will take advantage of this program, listening to this program, to put a vote in for this program at the Larry Mueller Show. We have a goal of 80 calls, this 80 pledges during the program, and we can only do it if you help us out by picking up the phone, calling 888-202-2552, or even better, go to WPR.org. You can put in your contribution there. It'll only take you a couple minutes, and you will be helping us meet our goals.
And whether it's those three-minute news updates at the top of the hour that get you caught up on what's going on, or 60-minute talk shows or 90-minute talk shows like the Larry Mueller Show, you hear about the topics that affect your life, and you hear about them on Wisconsin Public Radio. Listeners like you help pay for the quality of the programs you hear every day. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Couldn't be easier to give either at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We just need your name, your contact information, how much you want to pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
It saves time and money by using a credit card if you can. Or better yet, sign up for automatic sustaining donations from your bank account. You choose how to give and you choose how much to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And think about all of the issues you've heard talked about on the Ideas Network in the past year. Oh, my goodness.
Just in the past week.
Just on this show, in the course of a year, we'll do about 250 shows, about 400 topics, and then you can think of all the other programs and multiply that out, and literally thousands of programs. Make your pledge right now in support of these programs at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552. Do it for all you've learned in the past year on Wisconsin Public Radio.
We love that you're out there as listeners and callers that make these shows work and make them worthwhile, but we especially love when you become a member. We love bringing you all the great guests like Ken Adams, like Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, like Phil Pelletieri, who was on just yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's a privilege to do so.
But you couldn't get all these great programs if members didn't kick in more than one-third of our budget. So become a member right now. Help make WPR possible with your gift, any amount, at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. And I can't say enough about listener support being such a great part and a big part of Wisconsin Public Radio and our pledging. So I hope you'll make a donation right now in support of that.
You cut them in half, a pair of pants, for example, or a chair or your glasses. But other things work better, more efficiently. WPR has cut this pledge drive in half. Our goal is to raise all of the money it takes to bring you the programs you count on in just half the usual time. But it only works when you give now. Here's how.
You can go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Judith Sears Poisson here with Larry Miller. I can't believe I just said your name wrong. My name's the one that's supposed to be hard to say. We're here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Help pay for the programs you depend on and help us raise those funds in just half the days of a normal fall pledge drive, 6 days instead of 12.
And we are looking for, how many were, we're looking for another 45.
Yep.
Oh boy, we got lots of work to do here. Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You get value from this program and also from Joy Cardine, from Chapter Day, from Car Talk, from What Do You Know, and all the many others that you rely on. And we are still looking for 45 contribution
right,
pledges.
By 12:30, so please call now. We hope you appreciate that WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of programs you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Time flies, and maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to WPR. We're asking you to keep your membership active.
Think of your support of WPR like you think of a newspaper or magazine subscription, something you renew each year. Renew your support to WPR right now by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And WPR really exists because people contribute, to be perfectly honest. When we all give, our contributions add up to make this program possible. Your contribution, it really does make a difference. So please contribute.
It makes such a difference, and it's so greatly appreciated. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's as simple as that. One pledge at a time, one person at a time, you make this station possible.
And we took a big chance here, shortening our fall pledge drive from 12 days down to 6. It's a risk because we don't need less money.
No.
It just means that we have to meet our goals faster, and everyone wins when we do that because you value WPR programs and because you like the idea of less on-air fundraising. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and please give as generously as you can.
Take a moment. Think about the programs you love. How often do you listen? How long do you listen when you tune in? Now think about your budget. What amount will make you feel good after you've pledged? Think of that amount and then pledge online at WPR.org, or you can call us at 888-202-2552.
We have a goal of 80. We still have 45 contributors to reach, and we can do that with your help now at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to watch Romper Room, and at the end, they would look through this little pretend mirror and say, "I see Susie and Judy and Larry. We see you out there listening, and we hope that you'll help now." It's our Half the Time Pledge Drive. It's a short fall drive, just 6 days instead of 12. But your donation is what's going to decide if it's a success. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Anita from Delavan commented that, "I've been supporting WPR for years because I am entertained and educated every day I listen. Thank you for being there." And we're here to say thank you for being here with us today. And by being a member, we hope, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And one of the things that Judith and I enjoy is seeing the folks who actually do contribute during this 11 to 12:30 time slot, because it is kind of a vote for this program and for the kinds of topics that we deal with here on that 11 to 12:30 time slot. People like Ken Adams, who come in, and Ken has already saved several people quite a bit of money and has provided
just today
and has provided a lot of great advice. Maybe you've had some good advice that has helped you over this past year from Ken or from Scott Craven or from Phil Pelletieri or from any of the number of great guests that we have. Well, if you have, help us out right now with a contribution. Go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. Very, very important that you contribute, and doing it right now would be a big help. Again, WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. Taking a look at home renovation and repair today with Ken Adams of Adams Design Construction in Madison. Great to have him along, and thank you so much for listening in. Our lines are all filled, so I'm going to go right to the phones and to Beth in Madison. Beth, are you there?
I am. I have a question on, lately I've heard about attic foil insulation. Do you know anything about that?
That thin foil.
Are you talking about, are you talking about the real thin foil that people use? They sometimes staple it to the outside walls and that sort of thing?
Right, yeah, it comes in sheets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really know that much about it in this area. My understanding is that part of the situation is that you don't want to have that to the outside of the insulation, because it creates a vapor barrier and it sandwiches any insulation you have in the attic between the vapor barrier on the inside of your house and the vapor barrier on the outside, and that's not a good thing. I can't really speak any more to that, more to it than that, because I just don't have the expertise.
I know it's what I've heard so far is that it's had some use in the South.
Yeah, in the South, it's really popular. Yeah,
very
and very useful. Yeah.
But there have been problems with it in the North, and so I
think it's that problem where people will sandwich their insulation in between, and then the moisture can develop in there, and you get molds and ineffective insulation.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Beth. Steve in Madison, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Yes, good morning. I have a question about attic insulation. I currently have a ranch home, and it has vermiculite and some rock wool, and I wanted to possibly add insulation on top of that. One of my concerns is with the vermiculite. I was wondering if it did have any asbestos in it, would there be any merit into removing everything and then coming back with just fiberglass?
Well, have you had it tested?
I have not.
Okay, it's an easy thing to do. You could grab a small amount, put it in a baggie, and take it to the state lab of hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Madison, it's over just off of Flom Road, I think it
is.
And they'll test it for, I don't know, $50 or so and let you know. And it's not a very effective insulation anyway. So if it's possible, your insulating contractor might be able to just vacuum it out along with the rock wool and then put in. We don't normally put in fiberglass anymore. We usually, if we can, we will put in I'm just, repressing it. Yeah, DensePEC cellulose insulation. It's considered a green product. It's fairly inexpensive. It's actually, I think, less money than fiberglass. And it's very effective. The other thing you want to be considerate of is what kind of ventilation you have at the eave ends. If you've got this vermiculite and rock wool, your house is probably in the 50s or 60s. You may have inadequate eave ventilation, so you'll want to rethink how your house is ventilated, your attic is ventilated, and you know, do the appropriate remedies as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
Yes, it does.
All okay, right, thanks. Thank you for calling. And Gene in Heartland, on to you now. Hi, Gene.
Morning, afternoon, or whatever. They have a pole barn I bought that's on a property, and I'd like to insulate it, and I'm looking for the correct product or the correct way to do it correctly. It's a work building, and it's got no insulation whatsoever, and I'd like to get it insulated and maybe heated somewhere down the road here.
Okay. It's a pole building, aluminum or steel outside, and no, just purlin and no framing inside other than that?
Yeah, that's all on the concrete floor, sir.
Okay. Years ago, I used to build these things for Moriarty pole building. I think they got bought up by Wick. And what they used to use was a fiberglass insulation that was in a pouch that they would staple up. And I think there's some products out there now that are quite a bit better that are basically self-sealing too. So you staple these pouches up to the inside, make sure they're sealed up correctly, and that should work for you. I'm not sure where you'd go for that, but you could probably find out from one of your local lumber yards.
Do I have to put a plastic barrier over that by any chance, inside or outside of that, before I put that up, sir?
If it's the encapsulated insulation, you won't need it because it has its own vapor barrier.
Okay. I'll check into that, sir. All right, thank you for your time.
Yeah, yep. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Good luck. Thank you for calling. Dave and Marinette, on to you. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I just put a new metal roof on a part of my house, and that part had four skylights in it. And the flashing underneath and the caulked around it, I'm still getting some leaks in there. Do you think I know there's no special flashing for that stuff, but is it more caulking you need to build up around the edges? Is that how you do that, or?
I'm no.
I'm not quite sure.
No,
that's
Dave,
a temporary solution. Maybe.
Yeah, that's a sort of a gap, stopgap, basically. But what do you know? What name brand skylights?
I got Anderson's. Skylights.
Okay, I don't know a lot about their flashings, but I think they're fairly similar to the Velux skylights. And what you do with those is you use what we do is we step the flashing up the sides as we're roofing. We use a combination of their step flashing and a product that's called Ice and Water Shield, or one
right,
of the comparable.
Yep.
And
okay, but this is metal roofing, though.
Oh, and this is metal roofing. So
metal roofing.
Now, does the who did the roof for? Who did the roof for you?
There's a J&W, a roofing contractor.
Okay.
Did the roof?
Well, they would probably be able and very likely responsible for fixing that leak.
Yeah, well, I already called them. Yeah, they're going to come up back and look at it. So
yeah, caulking, just back to your question about caulking, caulking is really not the answer. Caulking is a good stopgap. It's a way to enhance the flashing, the mechanical flashing that you have, but it's not something you need to rely on because otherwise you'll be up there every year fixing it.
So don't let whoever comes, don't let them just say, oh, you can just caulk this and it'll be fine. It'll be fine for less than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know about the flashing on the window, but I don't really understand how you put it up on the metal. You know, that was my part.
Well, you could go to the website for Anderson Windows or go to the website for the material, for the roofing material supplier that did your metal roof, and they should have information or links to information on how to properly flash it.
Yeah.
And inspect that, get that printed out, and then quiz your contractor to see if they did everything right. Because sometimes these guys, they have a helper do the work, and they miss something, and it just happens. And other times it's you know, it could be very simple fix, but good luck.
Good luck. Thank you for calling, Dave. Nick and Racine, your turn. Hi, Nick.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for this program.
Sure.
Yeah, we're contemplating doing something besides crawling up on a second-story roof and cleaning the gutters out every year. We have a wooded lot. And, boy, there's a myriad of products out there that they have now that are that cover the gutters.
Yep.
From screens to helmets and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of, you know, I researched it on the Internet, and I'm kind of...
it's mind-boggling.
Do you have any experience with that stuff?
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Because
yes,
every product is the greatest, the best, the fabulous.
Yeah, I know.
there's a number of good products out there, and I've put several different ones on and have had good luck with them. Larry, do you remember what we put on your house?
No, I honestly don't remember. It's Gutter Guard. Might be Gutter Guard.
Yeah, there's Gutter Guard. There's a Gutter Sponge that actually about 8 years ago, a customer of mine asked me to try, and I thought, well, I'll give it a shot. And I bought enough extra to do my garage, and it's holding up great. It's like a little... a sponge that you stick in your gutter. It's really easy to install.
Yeah,
that works well. So I think the key is to find something that's not going to break the bank and it's going to have a good warranty and have somebody install it who's going to stand behind it. So
right.
If you find the right mix of those, I think you'll be in the best shape.
All right.
Good luck. Thank you. And you might check with the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection just to see if you get it narrowed down to two or three, just check with them, their 800 number, and see if there have been any complaints filed against the companies that you've narrowed it down to.
That's a good point.
It's easily done at their 800 number with Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I don't have it right off the top of my head, but it's out there. Thanks, Nick, for calling. Arlene in Burlington, it's your turn. Hi, Arlene.
Hello there.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, I had a solution for the gentleman who was looking to insulate his pole barn.
Okay.
I built a hangar, and it needed insulating. A contractor said it can't be done, and we did it ourselves, and it works. It's toasty and warm. What we did was we bought rolls of very wide, I think there's seven, whatever the width of the pole construction is. We bought widths of that, and...
widths of what, honey?
Insulation, rolls of insulation.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like 20 by 7. And then what we did the walls that way and attached them with nails with the little grommets on the end to hold it in place. And then what we did for the ceiling was we had two lifts, and you lay the roll of insulation on the floor, put two pipes under it, take the lifts up with it and make a wire structure, and it holds the insulation on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Go ahead.
Just a quick question, Arlene. Was this an encapsulated insulation? Did it have a plastic barrier or something on the outside?
No, it has a plastic on the one side and open on the back.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So if he wants to know more, because it's a little complicated, but we did it ourselves, I can give you my number off the air.
All right. Well, we can have Judith do that. We'll put you on hold, and we'll see what we can. Judith will get the number and get your number, and if that person wants to call back, that would be great. Thank you.
You have the greatest listeners.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there's some wonderful stories out there that I can tell, and I'll do that someday. Bevan Livingston, your turn, though. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've been waiting for this call, this business, for quite a while. Anyway, I have quick questions about the thermostat and my furnace.
Okay.
Okay, now, number one, I thought I'd been having problems with my furnace because the fan kept running all the time, even though it wasn't blowing out heat, it was blowing out cold air.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said that was normal, that it should shut itself off. I thought it should shut itself off once the heat stops running. But he said, no, that just keeps running. So I wondered if that was right, because when the heat comes on and I turn the fan off, then the heat comes out a little bit, but not very much. When I turn the fan on, it's just cold air.
At the beginning when the heater furnace first kicks in?
All the time.
All the time?
Yes.
So how is your heat working in any part of the house?
No, it's all pretty much the same.
Well,
you need to get somebody in there to...
Yeah, you need to get a furnace repair person in, because originally it sounded like maybe your furnace, your thermostat was set improperly. You can adjust the amount of time your fan is on after the heat shuts itself off, and that's originally what I was thinking. But maybe you need to have a technician take a look at this.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess around with a furnace like that.
Especially now with winter, winter just soon to be here. Good luck.
Do it soon.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Ken Adams of Adams Design and Construction. Ken, always a great pleasure.
Yeah, it's terrific to be here. Thanks, and thanks for all the great calls.
Judith Sears-Poisson joins us as well. We've got listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're in our half-the-time pledge drive. How are we doing, Judith?
Well, we're doing better, but we still need some help. As Larry said, we've cut our fall drive down from 12 days to just 6. And this is it. It's happening right now. Be a part of this half-the-time drive with your gift of $50 or $100, whatever feels right to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's you, yes, you, who makes this shorter drive possible.
And we're looking for 37 pledges in the next 9 minutes. So that's about... 4 or so pledges per minute. We can do that. Pledges like yours keep us on track to support the programs you count on, and they help us reduce on-air fundraising by making this half-the-time drive a success. So, thanks if you've already given. If not, give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, I know you've been enjoying the conversation about home improvement projects with guest Ken Adams. I know because I've been answering the phones when you've been calling in. And like Ken said, great calls make for great programming and for fun radio for all of us. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs you enjoy every day, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with 2 minutes of your time. Just give us your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. And whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. We do not share it with any other organization.
And it's really your gift that turns into the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Some of the regular guests on this program, like Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, who helped with pet health concerns, Professor Bassam Shakashiri of UW-Madison's Chemistry Department. He's got great comments on science and education. Phil Pelletieri, our entomologist, who joined us yesterday. Melinda Myers, nationally known gardening expert.
We bring them all to you, and you get great information, and not just great information, but information you can use in your everyday life from these guests and so many others that come on the program. It's a real pleasure for us to have them on and to make them available to you, but it's your contribution that makes it all possible. So pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
37 more contributions we need to come in here in the next 8 minutes or so. You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, for engaging content and entertainment. Your gift supports the connection for you and others across the state. Leadership gifts of $1,000 or more are increasingly more important as our drives continue and for continued success. If you can make a gift at that leadership level, visit WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552, but your gift of any amount is really greatly appreciated.
If you cut a novel in half, you'd miss the best part, the ending. But if you cut a pledge drive in half, you get the best part, more of the programs you rely on. For our half-the-time pledge drive, you get to write the ending. Will it be a success? We just don't know. But you can ensure WPR's happily ever after with your gift right now. Here's how to do it.
You can pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson, here to ask for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio in this last 5 minutes of the program. Maybe your gift is $50 or $100, or maybe it's $500. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. Go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. Very important for you to do that now.
Larry, we're still looking for 36 more pledges in the next few minutes. Thank you if you've already given.
Pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And if you haven't given yet, help us stay on track. Help make our Half the Time pledge drive a success by making your contribution right now. Go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
You know, I know from answering your calls every day how much you enjoy listening to Larry and how impressed you are by his knowledge of so many topics. It's clear you also appreciate how friendly and down-to-earth he is, and I'm here to tell you he really is as nice a guy as he sounds like he is. Larry brings his enthusiasm for life in Wisconsin to every program, and that's what makes this show so unique and so worthy of your support. Show that support now with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
New members are very important to Wisconsin Public Radio. We've added 24 new members during this program now as I take a look here.
Great.
Big thank you to all of the first-time donors who have pledged so far this hour. The more people who support WPR, the more stable our financial situation, and the better we're able to withstand the economics ups and downs.
So if you've never given before, please know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the same strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might spend more money than you realize during the course of a day.
I know I do.
Yeah, well, a cup of coffee, a lunch, magazine, or a newspaper adds up to a lot of money over the course of a month.
But I'm guessing you also listen to WPR every day. It's just as important as those other daily things you enjoy and when you're talking about coffee and lunch, maybe even need. So spend some money on WPR today.
And look, we're 33 more to go. Pledge your support right now at WPR.org or by calling us at 888-202-2552.
You know, we're in our Half the Time pledge drive, and I'm here to tell you what we're trying to do is pretty big and pretty daring. We've taken our biggest pledge drive of the year, normally 12 days, and cut it in half.
That is amazing, and it just means we have 6 days to ask for your gift in support of the WPR programs you love. We hope you agree. It's a great idea, so I'm hoping you'll give as generously as you can. Give whatever amount, though, that you can afford at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Just a couple of minutes to go.
That you're hearing us right now means you've made the decision to listen to WPR. Now we want you to make the decision to support WPR financially. The correlation is as simple as that. And pledging is simple, too, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for about 30 more pledges in the next couple of minutes. You can help us out right now. I hope you'll do it. Be one of those 30. Go to WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
It's our Half the Time pledge drive. It's a short fall drive, just 6 days instead of 12. Your donation is what's going to help make it a success. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've had many wonderful comments from people who have contributed already. We have a great family of listeners here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and you are a part of that family of listeners. Some of our family members can afford large contributions. Some can afford small contributions. Some can't afford any. What can you afford? How can you help support Wisconsin Public Radio in this last minute of at least the drive for this show? Think about that and then call us at 888-202-2552 or maybe go online to WPR.org. Go to WPR.org, make your contribution there.
You know, Larry, there's a great comment from Moshe Sola from Madison, and this really resonates with me. It says, WPR provides good programming which allows for different perspectives with educational benefits to all listeners. I also love the interactive programs which allow for caller input. That's what we specialize in.
Thank you for contributing. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.